The ArtSci Lab is a transdisciplinary research lab made up of researchers and creators committed to helping the arts, science, and technology communities by pursuing initiatives of societal urgencies and cultural timelines. Now, that's more or less the tagline, but who are these researchers and creators? I'm your host, Maisha Razek, and I intend to find out. From deep within the halls of UT Dallas, we bring you the ArtSci Lab Talk Show. In February of this year, I interviewed fellow ArtSci Lab member Jacob Hunwick about his academic career and professional interests. Jacob joins me remotely from Marburg, Germany.
So my name is Jacob Hunwick. I'm currently studying abroad at Philipps University of Marburg in Germany. And I'm currently working for the lab as an international ambassador. Basically, my goal is to create new international relationships with new universities, new people, and then also talk to some of our international collaborators from, for example, our international podcast platform, Creative Disturbance. Okay. So things like that, yeah.
In the ArtSci Lab, there are certain members who hold the title Lab Sherpa. These are people who can be considered resident experts on a particular project, skill, or subject. They are generally the go-to people if you need advice in their expertise. So when I asked Jacob about his role as Lab Sherpa, this is what he had to say.
This term Lab Sherpa.
It's new, relatively.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a funny way of describing people that have expertise in certain subjects.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I have expertise or a lot of wealth of knowledge in German language and culture.
Okay.
I would say, for lack of having someone from Germany working in the lab, I would be the stand-in Sherpa for German language and culture, probably.
Okay, yeah. Did your interest in German culture and language come from anything specific, or is it just something that, like, you gradually became into?
I had a really good German teacher in high school.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Frau Bavig, and I learned German with her for 4 years, and she got me very interested in the language and culture. And then I did a exchange program for 2 weeks during the summer of my junior year of high school.
One doesn't simply become the German language and culture expert and ambassador for the lab without taking some major steps first. In order to learn more about Jacob's journey, I had to start at the beginning.
How did you find out about the ArtSci Lab? How did you join? Tell me that story.
So coming out of high school, I was interested in product design. I started a longboard company with my brother, and we also created our own website and graphics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very interested in web and product design and graphic design also. And I found the ATEC program was a good fit for me academically.
Right.
Once I got into the ATEC program, I did design one, and I put a lot of effort into my projects as I did with my company.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassini Nazir, who was the former design director of the lab and co-founder of the lab, he took note of my work and he introduced me to the lab kind of one random day during my second semester as a freshman. And then since then, I started doing small projects, and it's just gotten, I've just been more and more involved every semester with the lab.
Do you have any like philosophy on how you approach like projects or like your career? Like, is there anything that kind of keeps you motivated, or is it kind of like sequential, like project by project?
I like to sort of center around the theme of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So making projects that are like meaningful interactions. And one of Cassini's main points that he has taught his students at ATEC is that a lot of interactions these days with computers and phones, they only use like 5 senses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in utilizing and paying attention to the senses that aren't like popularized, like balance and like perception.
Right.
Depth perception, things like that. So, and a lot of my projects I've been incorporating that theory into my projects more and more as I come to understand it better and as I come to have more resources and abilities to explore those ideas.
What have you worked on in the lab so far? Like, is this your first project, or is this kind of like a culmination of something that you've been doing?
So I've done a new project either every year or every semester. So the first semester, the second semester of my freshman year, I basically worked on creating posters for projects. Mm-hmm. So that was both. I learned how to interview people and learn about projects and then also translate that into graphics. So that was my first project. And then after that, I started working with Yvonne Tina on the Creative Disturbance project.
Yeah.
So doing like web design, graphic design for that. Mm-hmm. Also, I've done previously done a podcast with Yvonne and Roger and my brother on Creative Disturbance. And then after Creative Disturbance, I did a project called the Interactive Lab, like the face of the ArtSci Lab. It's an interactive sculpture that sits in the window of the lab. And I think this is where that project is really where my own personal interests start to show in my projects in the lab. It's essentially a modular sculpture where each little box shows three letters of the word ArtSci Lab. So one says art, sci, and then lab. Mm-hmm. And it has a facial recognition camera, so it can like see when someone's there, and it like kind of interacts with people that are coming by the lab. So that was like something we wanted to do with lab presence.
If you would like to see this project that Jacob is talking about and more, please visit the ArtSci Lab website at artscilab.atec.io. I will also include a link to the post in the description of this episode.
So like making the lab more present in the halls of ATEC. Yeah.
I didn't know that it had facial recognition, but I have seen it. It's very cool. If you could pick like a project or like anything you've done thus far in your career and give like an elevator pitch about it, what would you say? What would you do?
I just remembered a project that I forgot to mention. So I'll give it, I'll elevator pitch that one since I forgot it. The boss of the lab runs a journal, and he was holding a celebration for the three best artist writers for the journal. It's called Leonardo. Mm-hmm. And one day he asked me, Jacob, can you make skateboard awards for this to give away to these three artists? And I just said, sure. And we went on this collaboration where I made custom boards for these three artists. And that was probably my favorite project that I did in the lab.
Speaking of the boss of the lab, what are your thoughts on mentorship? Like, have you found that mentors are an important part of like what you're trying to accomplish, or do you think that you're better suited to be more self-directed?
I think mentors are crucial for guidance. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to the student whether they can interpret and use that guidance for a useful project. I find Cassini as a good example of a good mentor for the interactive sculpture project. We had a lot of ideas, right? Narrowing it down took just the smallest little nudge in the right direction. So I think mentorship is crucial to like achieving something that's like both useful for you and also meaningful to the current literature of whatever subject you're working with. Because mm-hmm. students kind of tend to go astray, but then people that really know what's going on, they're like, okay, we need to be in this
like narrowing the scope.
Yeah, narrowing the scope, things like that. Yeah, definitely.
Now that we've covered the beginnings of Jacob's career, it's time to delve into the details of what he's doing. So I give him my most anticipated prompt, at least on my end. What are you doing in Germany?
I think I'll frame it as a narrative and go through how I became this very strange position of being an international ambassador
for
an ArtSci Lab, which I'm not sure is a common position. So I'll definitely need some explaining. Mm-hmm. So as I explained before, I've been interested in German language for 4 years in high school and then throughout my time at university. So I speak German fairly well. And so that allowed me, that narrowed my, I knew I wanted to study abroad too, because I did it in high school in Germany. So I knew when I got into the university that I wanted to study abroad. It was just a matter of when and where. So I started the application process, applied to three different German universities, and I decided Marburg would be the best option. So once I got in, I told the lab, told Roger, our boss, and he immediately said, before I could finish my sentence, you can be the lab ambassador. Due to the very like international structure of the lab, we have a lot of people who work from abroad. We have a lot of international collaborators. Roger's journal, Leonardo, actually has a sort of a sister institution in France. So it made a lot of sense to frame this this study abroad, my time abroad in Germany, as a international opportunity for me to promote lab work.
Right.
So we started this conversation, I would say, about a year ago. The application process is very long for studying abroad. And just developed this idea into, while you're abroad, or while I'm abroad, I will visit people that we're collaborating with, speak with them, perhaps record it, and then reflect and post my ideas on our through a weekly blog.
So your like tangible like production is your like weekly recount of what you've been doing.
Another thing I'm also creating with this, by being the international ambassador, I'm actually the founding member of a project I'm starting called ArtSci Abroad. So ArtSci Abroad is a project through which future students could possibly study abroad and do international work and still be working for the ArtSci Lab, as I am doing currently.
Have you been able to talk to anyone so far?
I was able to, my guest family in Düsseldorf, the ones I stayed with 4 years ago in high school, they are very kind and they have a lot of professional connections.
Oh, okay.
So I spoke to them about my interest in product and web design.
Right.
And they connected me with a product designer named Oliver Stotz. And I went to his design firm and he showed me around, showed me all of his a lot of his projects. There's some that are still in progress, so I couldn't see everything. And he told me what it's like being a product designer in Germany. And we talked about like which countries are more modern in their approaches and things like that. So I have got one visit, I'd say, under my belt. I'd like to do a lot more.
What are you studying in Germany? Like, what's your study abroad subject? Tell me how that works.
So for my degree plan back home, as an A-Tech major, they're not very like, they don't have a lot of access to technologies and things like that for web design. So they're going to be electives. And then right now I'm taking intensive German language classes. And then later on, I will do a short semester and I'll take two classes in German. And those classes are, one of them is about like infrastructure design and the history of the automobile. And then the other one is a German literature class.
Is the infrastructure class in German?
They are both in German, yes.
Okay, cool. So you're like completely like immersed.
You could take classes in English, but it's my decision to take them. And you also have to test in to the proficiency level to take them in German. So I'm happy to be able to take them in German. One thing it's been interesting, because I have classmates from Brazil, Mexico, Japan, China, probably forgetting a few, and then all over the US. So it's interesting to see everyone's perspective on the German culture and then also on multilingualism.
So then I asked Jacob if his time abroad shaped his plans for his future and career. And listener, I don't know if you were also thinking about this during the interview, but I had to ask. Do these plans include a permanent move to Germany?
I framed this time abroad as like in German you call it a Probezeit, like a test period for living in Germany. And it's es ist schon erfolgreich. It's already successful, because I definitely think I want to live here for some period of time, whether that's for a job or for a master's degree, which would make a lot of sense for me.
If you got a master's degree, would you be doing it at the university you're at right now, or just like, would it depend?
I'm discovering new things about this university every day. It's Marburg, the city I'm in, is called the University City of Marburg. So it's all kind of one thing. And all the departments are in different parts of the city, so it's hard to know everything about the school in one day. So they actually have a pretty extensive media study center here, which would be a possible option for me. So yeah, I could come back and do a master's degree in Marburg. One career trajectory for me would be to work as a web or product designer for a design firm. For example, the firm I visited a few weeks ago, Stotz Design, would be an example of a firm I'd like to work at, where you work with a company and you help them make logos and graphics and things like that.
would you describe kind of your plan, like your career plan, to be non-traditional?
Me being in Germany, as I talk to you, is a great example of how I follow my hobbies. I haven't taken any German language classes during university. Mm-hmm. So it's all, you'd call it Selbststudiert, or you studied by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken that to studying in Germany. So I think I like to follow my hobbies. There's not necessarily a plan associated with that. But yeah, if I follow my hobbies.
In the sense of like a traditional sort of trajectory of like being like going to school, doing X internship, getting this job, like it's like a valid but different way of like approaching what you want to do.
Right.
To elaborate this point, Jacob refers back to the longboard company he started with his brother.
You might say, oh, you wanted to make money, so you started a company. But it was more of like, all of our friends are riding longboards. It's a great way to get around town, mm-hmm. you know, and we were like, maybe we can build them. And then that very genuine interest just sort of evolved into this entire company. So
personal kind of investment.
Right.
If you were talking to somebody that wants to be where you are now, what steps would you tell them to take?
In my experience, if I did not have a proficiency in the German mm-hmm. language, the experience would not be as meaningful, and it would not teach you as much. Because okay. one of my favorite industrial designers, he's now passed away, but his name was Victor Papinek, mm-hmm. and he was bilingual. And he always said that my second language is my second way of thinking. When you become, like, through this process of becoming bilingual, of learning another language and becoming immersed in another culture, you not only learn about the world, but you learn about yourself through finding new ways of thinking through language. So I would say to anyone who wants to study abroad and do work abroad like I am, mm-hmm. you should pay great attention to the language and put a lot of time and effort into that.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Jacob.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Learn another language.
Okay, that's good advice. Also, do you have any stuff online that you would want to direct people to?
I recently posted a blog about the new project, Artsang Abroad, mm-hmm. and it essentially talks about my goals, and it's a open call to people that might be interested in talking to me while I'm here. So I would direct anyone that's listening and is interested in speaking with me to go check out the blog section on the ArtsciLab website.
Well, there you have it. Jacob Hunwick from Marburg, Germany. Thank you so much for listening to the ArtsciLab talk show at the University of Texas at Dallas.